Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all this morning. There's a story of a grandfather who was telling, or he was trying to teach his grandson a life lesson. And the story goes, and the grandfather says, "A fight is going on inside of me," he said to the boy. "It is a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil, full of anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, lies and false pride, superiority, self-doubt, and ego. The other is a good wolf. He is joy and peace and love and hope and serenity and humility and kindness and empathy and generosity and truth and compassion and faith and full of love. The same fight is going on inside of you and inside of every other person," he says to the young child. So the grandchild or the grandson asked the father, grandfather, he said, which wolf will win?" And the grandfather answers very simply, and he says, "The one that you feed. The one that you feed is what's going to win." And a lot of times we have this struggle within us that there is good and that there's evil, that there's things that we feed into that are not so good, and then we decide to feed on the good or to feed the good. I want to welcome you to the second Sunday of Lent. And the second Sunday of Lent is also called the Temptation Sunday. And we celebrate temptation in the church. And yes, you heard me right. We celebrate temptation because temptation is truly a time for us to be able to choose what is right. This temptation gives us an opportunity to choose right over wrong, to choose God over the world, to choose an opportunity or gives us an opportunity for us to grow. To grow in love, to grow in humility, to grow in hope, to grow in kindness, to grow in truth and compassion and faith and all of the wonderful gifts that God has given us, all by renewing our commitment to a life of repentance. All of Lent, we are focused on repentance, and we are focused on living a life of repentance. You've heard me say this many times, that in the church, we don't believe in moments of repentance. We believe in a life of repentance. But you best believe that evil is out there and trying to knock us down and trying to make us focus and to feed the wrong wolf or the wrong things that are in our life. St. John Chrysostom says, "Pay attention carefully. After the sin comes the shame. Courage follows repentance. Did you pay attention to what I said? Satan upsets the order. He gives you the courage to sin and shame to repentance. Evil tries to switch the order continually and tries to mess us up and tries us to get to feed the wrong wolf, the wrong things that are in our life. Tries to distract us from living out to our full potential. But today, by the grace of God, we'll take advantage of these opportunities and we'll take every opportunity for us to grow and to feed the right things that are in our life." As you heard, the gospel of today is the gospel where the Lord was led into the wilderness and he was tempted. And we've heard this gospel many times, and we've heard this gospel over and over, and maybe you've heard hundreds of sermons, or at least 20 or 30 sermons about this particular topic, about this, the temptations that were faced. And people, they dive deep into, what do these temptations mean, and are these the temptations that we face today? But we're going to look at it hopefully this morning from a point of view that we have the opportunity, that we have the choice to feed. We have the choice to feed in the first temptation that comes. We have the choice to feed either our self-gratification or the instant gratification that we want to satisfy in our life. Or we get the choice to feed the self-centeredness or the selflessness, and our self-denial. And this is the first test that was faced when the devil came to Christ and said, turn this rock into a piece of loaf. Feed yourself. Christ was obviously in pain. Christ was obviously going to enjoy that piece of bread if he turned that rock into a piece of bread. He was going to enjoy it. But this test that the devil has presented us, or this opportunity that was presented to us, was a test to resist pain and to resist pleasure. This test reveals truly our maturity. You know, maturity for our intent and purposes is the ability to endure pain and to delay pleasures. A lot of times when you look at babies are still immature. It's not an insult to the baby because they haven't grown yet. It's an insult to an adult when you go up to them and you say, hey, you are so immature. That's an insult. There's a progression that you and I have to have where it's that we are supposed to gain maturity. Maturity is the ability to endure pain and to delay pleasure. Emotional maturity is the ability, you know, in other words, to do the hard stuff first and to maybe do the easy things later. Immature people just want to do the easy things. What comes naturally to me? What comforts me the most? They decide to feed into the self-gratification and this instant gratification. One of the biggest problems that we have in the world right now is this idea of instant gratification or this need for self-gratification. Why is it such a problem? Because we're not able to attend to what is proper. Prayer sometimes is not answered immediately. We don't get that instant gratification immediately from prayer sometimes. So yet, what do? Is that we end up going towards how can I self-gratify myself or how can I give myself instant gratification? A baby cries when they are uncomfortable, when they are frustrated, when they're delayed, when they want something and there's a delay. And that's why a parent must always teach, you know, their children to wait. You know, one of our goals as parents is to teach our children what's the difference between no and not now. You know, that's... But we live in a really, an immature society or immature culture right now where everything has to happen right now. I want a Big Mac right now, and I could get it at any time, whenever I want. I Uber Eat, and I could get it to my door. I don't even have to leave. Why? Because I want things right now, and we don't know how to wait. You know, why wait for a particular purchase when, I want to satisfy myself. I don't have the money for it, so I'll put it on my credit card. I know, we live with a line of credits and so forth. I'm not saying don't buy anything, but you know that self-gratification that we do when we go and purchase on impulse. Why say no to anything that feels good or that relieves my pain? Even if it's just for a short while. Some of us deal with the struggle of excessive drinking. Why? Because it's a place where we feel comfort. Some say, I'm going to enjoy, you know, the perks of life that may not be completely in line with my beliefs, but yet it will give me comfort just for a little. I just need that few moments of relief. That leads us to a place of immaturity. The inability to delay gratification is one of our biggest problems. Maturity is having the character to delay gratification. You see, what is going on in Matthew chapter 4, the verses 2 to 4? The devil came and said, change this rock into bread. Was it okay for Jesus to be hungry at that time? Yeah, it was okay. He fasted 40 days. You try and fast for 40 hours and see how you feel. Of course it was okay for him to feel hungry. Was it wrong for him to eat something? No, it wasn't wrong. Like he was going to eat a piece of bread. It's not like he said, turn this into a Big Mac or turn this into a steak. He just said, turn it into a piece of bread. Very simple food. He didn't say, create yourself a feast. You would think that after 40 days that the devil would come and say, create yourself a feast. No, the devil came and said, just a loaf of bread. Change this rock into a loaf of bread. So what was wrong with the suggestion that was given to the Lord? Two major problems. One is that he was being tempted to use his ability for selfish reasons. The primary reason for anything that Jesus does is his love for his children. There's no self-serving miracles. None of the miracles that the Lord did was for his own purpose, was always for our salvation. Everything that he does was to lead us towards salvation. I don't know if you guys watch the movie Bruce Almighty, but Bruce Almighty is when Jim Carrey is the character of, well, he plays God, or he gets to play God for a little bit. And at the beginning, he's like, oh, this should be easy for me to play God, is that he starts to grant everybody their requests. You know, I think a million people, you know, prayed for winning the lottery. So everybody won the lottery and won the jackpot, but they all ended up with, you know, like 30 cents. Why? Because, you know, so many people want it. He was trying to comfort everybody. He was trying to, you know, make everybody happy. And if you watch the movie, you know that that's not how people end up being. People don't end up being happy. Because Christ is not about making himself comfortable and making everyone around him comfortable. It's about salvation. Each of us has been blessed with one or so many of God's wonderful gifts. And these are to be used towards service towards one another. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards and the manifold of God. I'm going to be tempted in the places that God has gifted me. It's not always that we're going to be tempted in the places that we are weak. God will also tempt in our strengths. I don't know about you, but none of us, or I haven't been tempted to turn during this fast a rock into a piece of bread. Why? Because that's not my ability. That's not my gift that God has given me. God hasn't given me this gift of changing whatever I want into whatever food that I want. You know, we a lot of times think that the devil is only going to come and tempt us during our weakness or in our weaknesses. But he doesn't. He comes also during our strength. You know, your strength might be that you your strength might be of speaking, and you might convince somebody that you are smarter than them, or you're going to use your speaking. You have this elegant way of speaking that you're going to use it for manipulation. Speaking and having the gift of speaking is a great thing, but the devil doesn't want you to not to use it. He just doesn't want you to use it for Christ and for the right purposes. He teaches us and he keeps pushing us to feed the wrong wolf. Are we feeding the wolf of self-centeredness? Are we feeding greed? Are we feeding the wrong wolf? That's what the devil wants us to do. And that's what this temptation gives us the opportunity. Gives us the opportunity to feed the right part of our life. The second problem with this is that this temptation was not to wait and to trust on God. And here's the heart of this first temptation. When I'm empty and hurting or confused, will I trust God to meet my needs, or will I rush to satisfy it my own way? The devil comes and says, and a lot of times we are convinced that God will not, I can't depend on God in a certain area of my life. So I hear this voice and it says, God helps those that help himself. So you must take it into your own hands. What stone are you trying to turn into a bread this morning? What unmet need? Is it a need of a relation need, a financial need, an emotional need, a career need, an education need? Whenever we think that we got to do it ourselves, this equates and should bring us back to a place of understanding that we are led into a temptation at this moment, and that we have the choice to do and to feed what's right. God warns us not to try and meet our own needs. In Jeremiah, he speaks about his people and he says, "My people have done two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can't hold water." You see, a lot of times when we take things into our own matter, the result is a cracked cistern that can't hold water. A cistern is just a hole in the ground that's supposed to hold water, like the rainwater, so that you could bathe and wash and drink from it. But in Jeremiah, the Lord is telling his people, "You've taken it into your own hands. You've taken it into your own hands, and look at the result." Sometimes we just can't see God's solution that we need, so we take it into our own hands. In Isaiah chapter 50, it says, "Let him who walk in dark and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on God." Then he says, "But you will live in your own light. But if you live in your own light and warm yourself from your own fire and not from God's will, live among sorrow. Those that depend on themselves will live among sorrow. But those that depend and trust in God is what we are called to do today. This first temptation is giving us the choice to feed. To feed either my self-centeredness or to feed self-denial and to trust in God. In Matthew chapter 6 later on, this was from chapter 4, the gospel that we heard, chapter 6, which is just a little bit later on, it says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall I eat or what shall I drink, what shall I wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first," what? "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." God promises. He promises, put him first in all areas of your life. Put him in all of the areas of your life. In every step of faith, every sacrifice, everything I do is all for you, Lord. If you make this your primary concern in life, I will meet all your needs. That's what the Lord is saying. And notice that at the end of the gospel today, in chapter 11, or at the end of the passage of today, it waited till all of these temptations and all of these opportunities to pass. And then after that, after the test, he sent help. It says, and he sent angels to minister to him. God is waiting to see, are we going to put him first? Are we going to put him in every area of your life? I don't like using the word God, putting God first, but it's the only word that I could use. But sometimes, you know, some people separate their lives in like this pie, and they have like a piece of the pie which is, you know, your work, a piece of the pie is your relationship, a piece of the pie is God, a piece of pie is whatever your schooling and so forth. And I don't like to see God as a piece of the pie. God should be the filling of the pie, which is, permeates and is in every single area of your life. This morning, we have the opportunity to choose who you're going to feed. Are you going to feed self-gratification and instant gratification, or are you going to feed self-denial and trust in God? And I hope that we choose to feed self-denial and trust in God. The second opportunity and the choice that we have to feed is that we want to feed either being spectacular or feeding the calling to be sacrificial. The second test that came from the devil was the one to say, you know, he took him up on a high pinnacle and he said, "All of this I will give you." No, sorry, that wasn't the second one. What was the second one? The second one was a worship, yes. Worship. This was a chance for us, or this is a choice for us to have integrity. When our beliefs and our behavior matches, that is what integrity is. That you don't say one thing and do another thing. that you are the same in private that you are in public, that you are consistent. Few things reveal your integrity more than success. There's a quote that says, for every 100 people who can handle adversity, there's only one who can handle prosperity. And a lot of times you see this in like celebrities' lives. When the celebrities actually are maybe not so known at the beginning of their life, life is okay. But sometimes when celebrities get a little famous and they get prosperity and they get all of these wonderful, or they get, you know, lots of money and so forth, things kind of fall off the railings. You could think of a few celebrities that went off the rail. Charlie Sheen is one of them. You know, the kid from Home Alone. All of this, these are people that gained prosperity and ended up falling off. Matthew chapter 4, you could see that first, Satan always comes and he will quote scripture, but he will twist it. He will say, don't worry. The angel will protect you, but they don't want you to stop. But angels don't come and stop you from making your own choices. We have to understand the difference between faith and presumption. Faith is when God tells you and you do it. Presumption is when I have this crazy idea and I say, God, please bless it, or God, fix it, and so forth. So what's going on here? It was a temptation to presume God's grace, to hold God as a hostage. God, you have to do this for me. God is not a genius. God is not just a genie. He is a genius. Well, he's not a genie. He's not a genie. He's not just this lamp that we call and we summon whenever we make the decisions of certain things in our life. We need to learn to depend on God. This temptation was to draw himself to himself. Again, Christ never did any of the miracles to impress or to show off. God got to admit that it would have been a spectacular stunt if the Lord just jumped down this mountain and that the angels took charge over him and so forth. That would have been great. It would have been pretty amazing to see the Lord just jump and that the angels would have carried him and everybody would have clapped and everybody would have been happy. But God's plan wasn't to be glorified that way. God's plan was to be glorified not by jumping off a cliff, but by going up on a cross. Again, Jesus didn't come to earth to do spectacular things. He came to earth to sacrifice. And that is the biggest difference between a celebrity and a hero. A celebrity will do things for his own personal gain, but a hero is somebody that is sacrificial. Heroes are the firefighters that run into a burning building and save a kitten or a child and so forth, and we call them heroes. Why? Because he puts his life or her life on the line. The heart of this temptation is, will I use my abilities to serve God or to gain others' approval for myself? The Lord didn't use any miracles in order to gain approval for himself. In Galatians, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. It's important for us to feed and to listen to the Word of God. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Word of God is so important in our life. Feed the need of God's Word in my life. You know, a few days ago we read the Cynic Sermon. It was a story of a saint that didn't really have access to Scripture. And then there was this lady that had a few pages of the Epistle of St. Paul. And the saint said, can I have those pages? And it just got me thinking, how readily available is the Word of God to us, yet I don't take advantage of it. But in the early times, when it wasn't so readily available on paper, or accessible, I should say, you know, they were dying and they were so eager to find a way to read the Word of God. Feed the need of the Word of God. The second is that we need to practice humility. In 1 Peter it says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. He will lift you up. I don't know if you've tried this or if you've done this before, but have you ever prayed on your knees? And I would encourage you to every once in a while to get on your knees, to just get off your bed and to get on your knees. Kneeling is an expression of humility, of reverence, of surrender. And this is something that we're called to throughout Lent and throughout our whole life. That if we want to live a life of repentance, that we need to come to a place of humility, a place of complete surrender to God and to be on our knees. And the good news is that if you're on your knees, you can't fall. You can't fall if you're on your knees. So that's the best place to be. Many leaders have said that the knees is where you gain your strength. President Lincoln once wrote, and he said, "I have been driven many times to my knees in prayer with the overwhelming realization that I had nowhere else to go." And sometimes that's the reality, is that we don't have anywhere else to go other than to go in our knees. So this week, I encourage you to try at least one time this week to get on your knees. A lot of times, if you come to the liturgies throughout the week, in Lenten liturgies, is that you'll see we do a lot of prostrations. We say, "Let us bow our knees," and we bow our knees and we go to the ground. Why? Because we're saying, "Lord, I surrender my life to you." Feeding the call of integrity, where your belief and your behaviors match the calling of sacrifice and not wanting the superficial spectacle. That's what we're called to feed. We have the choice. We have the choice to feed the calling of being sacrificial or the choice to feed something else. And the third and the last opportunity that we get to choose where we feed is to feed either prosperity and possession or to feed our purpose. Prosperity and possession, this reveals the priority. Later on in Matthew, again in chapter 6, the Lord says, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. You can't. It's one or the other. And the third incident that the devil brings to the Lord, or the opportunity that we get, is the devil says, "Then the devil showed Jesus all the kingdom of the world and all their splendor. And he said, 'If you bow down,'" again, bow down, getting on your knees. No, the devil is asking for surrender. "If you bow down and worship me, I will give you all of these things." I will give you all of these things. He's talking about possessions, things, all of these things. "I will give you all the prosperity of the world." And Jesus said, "Go away from me, Satan. It is written, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him and nothing." Nothing else is worth serving, or no one else is worth serving other than God. And if you notice, the response is that the Lord always responds with scripture. And that goes back to the second one, which is to feed our need for scripture. A lot of us sitting here, including myself, I always say, and I give myself the excuse, that my memory is horrible. And most of you know that. You know that my memory is horrible. I asked you your names probably over 25 times. And forgive me if I still forget the names. It's because I really do have a horrible memory, but I'm trying. But the same time is that shouldn't be an excuse for me not to memorize or to try and have at least a few, really good scriptures that I could defend myself with. It was a temptation to compromise Jesus's mission. "Let's make a deal, Jesus. Isn't money more important than you fulfilling your mission?" And maybe sometimes that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. We get so preoccupied with our jobs and with, working hours and hours and hours that we tend to neglect maybe our families, our spouses, our children, because we have to provide. And we create this excuse for ourselves that we need to provide. And it's true, we have to provide. And I'm not saying we all should quit our jobs. That's not what I'm saying. But at some point, we have to be honest with ourselves and say, am I using this as an excuse or am I not? Am I using this as an excuse because I just don't want to be home? I don't want to hear the nagging. I don't want to hear the children crying. I just don't want to hear. So I am going to bury myself into work. I have a responsibility to one another and to our families. to feed a life of sacrifice. Our purpose, what is our purpose? Our purpose is not to gain all these possessions. Christ was he was crystal clear. In Matthew chapter 16, he says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange of his soul?" It's important for us to feed your purpose, which is to be generous. To be generous and to be sacrificial, to be generous with your time, to be generous with your money, to be generous with everything that you have. This is what we're called. There's no greater love than this, than to lay one's life for his own friend. This is what we're called to do, is to lay down a life of sacrifice, to feed. This morning, we pray that we could truly say with the Lord, saying, "Away with you, Satan, because today I want to feed the right wolf. I choose to feed self-denial and to trust in God that He will meet all my needs. I choose that I will feed the calling of being sacrificial and humble ourselves before God and have a life of complete surrender. We choose to feed, you know, our purpose and to put people before possessions." Pope Corollus VI has a beautiful quote, and he says, If you happen to fall into temptation, do not let the guilt of sin be an obstacle to prayer. If you cease praying till you repent, you will never repent, for prayer is the door to genuine repentance. This journey that we're on in Lent is a journey of repentance. And it starts with prayer, and that's why the church, you'll hear fasting and prayer. Prayer and fasting, that's all you hear throughout all of Lent. Why? Because these are things and gifts that God has given us for our own salvation. Let's not turn prayer into something that we are sacrificing for God. We're not sacrificing, we're praying. We're thanking you, Lord, for the gift of prayer that you have given me. We're thanking you, Lord, for the gift of fasting that you're giving me. And today we make a commitment, Lord, that we will feed the right things, that we will feed our self-denial, that we will feed, you know, being sacrificial, and that we will feed our purpose. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.